This is it. The Leonard Lopate Show here on WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings, sitting in for Leonard Lopate. Judy Gold is a comedian, actress, writer, and producer. She's got an impressive list of credits that include two Emmys for writing and producing The Rosie O'Donnell Show, a long-running off-Broadway hit, 25 Questions for a Jewish Mother, and an upcoming star turn in A&E's The Glades. But what she really, really wants is her own TV show. Like One Day at a Time. We just heard that theme song and we were both bopping to it. That was my favorite show.
First of all, besides the fact that these shows were such a huge part of our lives, how great were the theme songs?
we'll get to that in a moment because that was a big part of your show. Her latest show, her quest for her own show, is the subject of her latest theatrical piece titled The Judy Show, My Life as a Sitcom, now running at the Daryl Roth 2 or DR2 Theater. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Dream come true to sit here with you.
Oh, how nice. So give me the pitch. Why would your life be perfect for a TV show?
You know, I have every element. You know, I am a divorced mother of two, living on the Upper West Side. I'm gay. I share custody with my ex. My mother couldn't be more meddling and annoying. And my neighbors are sort of the village that brings my children up with me.
You've got lots of Kramers bursting
it's
into the door.
Beyond. And they're all incredibly rich characters themselves. So, I mean, it really is just a recipe for a hit show.
So when I entered the theater to see your one-woman show last week, I was immediately transported back into my childhood. You've got all those title cards from the Brady Bunch, the Partridge Family, the Facts of Life. You've got the theme songs playing of Happy Days and Maude. You sing them during the show. Mm-hmm. Besides the nostalgic element of them, what is it about them that makes them so iconic for you?
Well, when I think of my childhood, I mean, of course, I think of my family and I think of our home. But I also think of those shows as a huge part of my life on so many different levels. You know, Sherwood Schwartz just passed away.
Right.
He created the Brady Bunch and Gilligan's Island, which you could all pass off as schlock, and which the critics did. But when you read about him, his motivation was basically to put people from different walks of life together and to have them get along. And that was really what Gilligan's Island, I mean, ridiculous premise, but that's what it was. And the Brady Bunch was the first blended family.
Yeah.
And he really, you know, dealt with issues that you would deal with as a child. I mean, that was very saccharine sweet. But then when you think of Maude, you think of All in the Family, you think of Mary Tyler Moore. These shows I watched with my parents and they opened up a dialogue. I mean, Maude had an abortion. This is a topic I don't think would ever come up in
right.
my home. But
did you
did you
discuss it, though? Did you and your parents sit
around
afterwards?
I mean, I don't recall, you know, I don't recall. I do recall a lot of All in the Family discussions, you know, and Mary Tyler Moore. And I don't recall specific discussions, but I definitely recall that they opened up a dialogue between my parents and myself. And I'm sure, you know, other parents. And also, you know, look at Good Times. I mean, Dynamite. I mean, we said that for how long,
right.
you know? I remember on Welcome Back, Kotter, there was the Puerto Rican Jewish kid and sort of that kind of blended person that you mm-hmm. never really talked about as well. And I do think Norman Lear, all these TV creators, I mean, although you can write them off as sitcoms that were just pure entertainment, they really were. I talk to people after the show and I get people write to me. It's amazing. You know, I'd go home, I'd watch The Golden Girls, and I was bullied at school, but that would make me feel better. And it was just amazing how these shows sort of comforted people, made them feel safe.
Do you think that's different today? Do you think that was a function of all of the cultural stuff going on in the 1970s and that we have a much more fragmented media relationship with all these other, with cable, with the internet.
Right.
Do you think it's the same? Are your boys, your two sons,
right,
experiencing television in the same way?
I think they sort of long for it because,
really?
Yeah, I remember Henry, my younger one, he's going to be 15. And I remember as a young boy, he loved Full House. He loved that show. And I thought, why does he love this show so much? Well, here we go. You know, here he has two moms, they're divorced, and here's a family that's not really the typical kind of family. Everyone's sort of, you know, together in a house trying, bringing up these kids. And he was really drawn to this show. And I have to say, there are drawn to these shows on Nickelodeon that were the shows that I watched as a kid.
Oh, that's right. They're seeing them all in reruns,
right,
now.
So that's why the show, I mean, I did the show in Williamstown and I thought, oh God, all the apprentices, you know, they're all in their 20s. They're not going to get it all. I said, really? You know, but I think with
the
internet,
Hulu.
Yeah, exactly. With the internet and with Facebook and with reality shows, I think this genre is really something that is such a huge part of the American culture. And I think we're kind of losing out by sort of going to the housewives and the sister wives and the Duggars. And, you know, these are quote unquote real families, but it's really ridiculous in a way.
And yet that was going to be your opportunity, the Oprah Winfrey network. You almost made it, Judy. You almost made it. They were going to option your a reality show about your family. Now, was that okay? That got you there. That might have gotten you there. But would you have preferred the sitcom?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Would I prefer a scripted show? Absolutely. You know, reality shows, of course, are not really reality shows. They're all completely written. You know, in this scene, I want you to have a fight with this one, and you're going to walk out, and you're going to be really upset. And of course, I don't ever want to exploit my children, and I didn't want anything to happen on camera that my children didn't want on camera. So I did, you know, my younger son was like, yay, when are we going to be on TV? And my older son was like, you know, I don't really want, you know, because he's a teenager.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do anything that they didn't want to do. And the company I was working with, Meeting House Productions, they're very ethical. They're just great people. So they would have never done anything like that. But yes, I totally would have preferred, you know, a scripted show.
I'm speaking with Judy Gold, comedian, actress, writer, producer. She's got a show, The Judy Gold Show, My Life as a
Sitcom. No, just The Judy Show.
Just The Judy Show. I'm sorry.
You put
the Judy,
Gold on,
yeah,
forget,
and then
it,
forget
then,
it.
Yeah.
Forget it.
It's over.
My Life as a Sitcom at the DR2 Theater. I'm Amy Eddings, sitting in for Leonard Lopate on The Leonard Lopate Show. You have a very strong Jewish identity.
Mm-hmm.
There certainly wasn't any of that on TV sitcoms.
Right.
Did your identification with TV families like the Cunninghams or the Bradys lead to any conflict within you about being Jewish or with your parents?
No, I never felt, you know, I always knew we're Jewish. We're not like everyone else. And I, you know, I grew up in New Jersey. I didn't grow up in a very isolated area. And I had a lot of non-Jewish people around me. And, you know, Christmas lights went up on my street. It wasn't like I was, you know, in Borough Park. It was really sort of an assimilated area with a large Jewish population. But when Rhoda Morgenstern came on TV, it was like, you know, it was amazing for us as Jews. You know, we weren't really represented. You know, you think of the Goldbergs, Molly Goldberg, and that was a long, long time ago. But as much resistance as I've had for being gay, which is, I think, definitely the issue that, I mean, I think if I was a straight man with the situation that I'm in, people would be like, oh, my God, hello, this is the perfect situation for a television show. But when I think of the Jews that were on television and how they affect, like, as I mentioned on Welcome Back, Kotter, the fact that he was half Jewish was like, wow, we got a little bit, you know, we got a little bit. And, you know, I think that's how the gay community also reacts to anything we get. We got a little bit. Yeah. You know, and it's really, when you think about it, it's really not enough, but we'll take it. But yeah, Rhoda Morgenstern was huge for me.
Your mom is the comedic engine of The Judy Show, but your dad is the heart of it. You tell the story about missing an opportunity to come out to him just weeks before he died.
Right.
Tell us that story and why you didn't make that leap.
You know, he had called me and asked me if I had a boyfriend. And I said no. And then he asked me if I had a girlfriend. And I said no, you know, and of course I did. And I remember it was 9 a.m. I had just gotten up, and he had called, and I was completely caught off guard. And I had received so much. I mean, first of all, it's all within me. I'm going to take complete responsibility. I wasn't ready to come out because I wasn't ready to really accept myself 100%. I mean, I'm in show business. I'm just starting out in show business. People are like, do not ever tell anyone that you're
and
gay.
In the stand-up industry, too. Very sexist. Forget it.
You're absolutely correct.
I say that assuming that I know that that is true. And yet, already as a woman stand-up, you're breaking all sorts of boundaries.
Right.
Many, many women are extremely blue
right.
in stand-up, something right. that cuts against convention about
right.
how women are supposed to comport themselves.
Right,
so I
exactly.
would think in some ways, as a stand-up comedian, that would give you permission to come out and to use that material. No?
It wasn't. No. I mean, I think of who was out. I think of my friend Bob Smith. He was the first, I think in 86, he was out in the club saying, I'm gay. Not opening a set with, I'm gay. In the middle of a set, he would say, at Thanksgiving, I said to my – this is how I came out to my parents. I said, you know, could you please pass the gravy to a homosexual? And my mother passed it to my father. You know, and that's how he came out. Comedy, I think, is the most palatable way to deal with serious issues. And people are more apt to listen. But when you think of stand-up comedy, it is the most masculine job.
Yeah.
I mean, here you are. You're on a stage. You got a mic. You have complete control over these people. You are trying to sort of, you know, orchestrate their emotions. And that in this country is a masculine trait, to be in such power. And laughter, I mean, that trumps everything. I remember being in the clubs and I would go on the road and the guys that would open for me, and they would go to the bar afterwards and they're in sweatpants. They haven't bathed. They're just disgusting. And the women, all over them.
Yeah.
All over them.
Oh, yeah.
And me, I'm like, could someone give me a ride home? It was just, you know, it's sort of like you just have, you know, people are intimidated by it. And, you know, if a female comic dresses provocatively on stage, the men want to have sex with them, don't take them seriously, and the women hate them.
Yeah.
You know, so you see a lot of androgynous comics.
And self-deprecating.
Exactly. And the other thing I always knew, you know, when you think of women, especially in the 60s, 70s and prior, but I remember, you know, just keep your mouth shut. And, you know, to be feminine was to be quiet, to keep your opinion to yourself, to be complacent, to be, oh, you know, and to have an opinion and to voice it and to be funny. You know, forget that is just
yeah.
the most unfeminine thing. And it really, I mean, it's a hard business to begin with, but being a woman, it's, you know, it's not easy.
I'm speaking with Judy Gold about her new one-woman show, The Judy Show, My Life as a Sitcom at the DR2 Theater. I'm Amy Eddings, sitting in for Leonard Lopate. You talk about discovering your gift, your aha moment in the show when you were asked to do a stand-up routine in college, using everyone in your dorm room as subjects in order
right.
to get your earn your Secret Santa gift.
Present, yeah.
Were you only funny around your friends, or were you also funny around your family?
My family had such a great question because, you know, my partner right now comes from a very functional family. You know, her mother calls, "Hi, how are you? That's great. That's wonderful." And I, you know, to me, it's so foreign.
And your mother, by
you know,
comparison?
You know, I will, you know.
Because we have to get your mother
right,
in here.
So
we
basically, have... you know, how are you? How am I? The same as I was yesterday. What's new? What can be new? I mean, there's never.
And yet she calls you every day.
Every day we talk. But I have to say, in my family, humor, that was it. And we always spoke, you know, we always spoke in these sort of sarcastic, one-upping each other. And never really with our heart. I mean, when my father called me, my father was a very sensitive, loving man. And I think he would have been more like that if he hadn't been in the sarcastic, you know, house of cards here. But yeah, it's I think in my family, humor was the way we actually communicated with each other.
You mine your TV show rejections over the years for great comic effect.
Mm-hmm.
At first, producers kept wondering where the husband or boyfriend character
right.
was in your pitch. Then you're turned down because there isn't enough emphasis on hot sex,
right.
like on the cable show The L Word.
Right.
How close do you think we are getting to having a lesbian family on a sitcom.
I am hoping. I hope we're really close. I mean, you look at Cosby and how that show changed the world, how people watch this African-American, very successful family. And at some point, didn't have an issue with the fact that they, you know, that wasn't an issue at all. And for to put a gay family on and for people to say, oh, my God, they have the same problems as we do. I relate to them 100%. I think.
And do you think it will be a lesbian family or a gay family? Because the powers that be in the TV world already think there's something funny about men trying to raise kids,
right?
2.5 Men. And then there's Cam and Mitchell with their adopted Vietnamese daughter, Lily, on Modern Family, which I love.
Right. Exactly. I mean, here's a gay family, but the kid can't really talk yet. So that's always palatable, more palatable for them. But yeah, and Full House, again, is another guys raising kids thing. But it's again, a very masculine industry. And who knows? But, you know, women are good moms, usually.
Quick question. Your favorite TV show today?
Oh, God. You know, I'm such a news junkie. Oh, God, that's the worst.
All right.
I don't know.
Not Modern Family?
I love Modern Family.
All right.
I don't know. I can't even think.
All right. Judy Gold, The Judy Show, My Life is a Sitcom, running now at the DR2 Theater. Thank you so much for
coming
in.
Thank you. You know I'm going to think of a TV show on the way out.
You will. This is WNYC, AM and FM New York, and WNYC.org. And she is dancing, folks.